And so every time I want to succumb to my fears or my insecurities or cast other people in roles, then I have to go back to that knowledge of the self, that knowledge of who I am in my true identity.
Cast people in roles superior to you?
Not necessarily. I feel every day we go around auditioning people for roles. And many times people cast you for roles you haven't even auditioned for, but they've auditioned it in their mind. And so, for example, if someone wants to play the victim, right, they'll go around auditioning for people for a tyrant. So whoever, if you're the authority figure in their life, then you're the tyrant because they want to play victim. And so unconsciously, we all audition other people in our lives for these roles. And so we have to be, every time I want to succumb to that. So actually, when you were talking about other people having power over us, if I stop auditioning myself for the victim roles or martyr roles or whatever it is, and know that I will be victorious, that I will be successful, you know, the true archetype of a hero. And so if I think of myself as the hero, that I will be victorious, I will be successful, that's the hero's journey, right? In any movie, the hero is always successful. And so if I completely accept and sit in that and have faith in that, that I am a hero and I will be successful, then all of these things won't matter.
It sounds easy. Like, I want to be a millionaire, so I'll just wait for the millions to hit me. And I know it's not easy.
So you bring it into sound. But building on that, not only first you bring it into sound, which is very, very important.
It's to say it out loud.
Say it out loud, to write it, to think about it, to know that that is your immediate goal, is to find your immediate purpose and meaning and contract with life. That has to be paramount. You can't get distracted by the million things we can get distracted by. It has to be something that you really, truly want. And I feel if you really, truly want, just like if the student is ready, the teacher appears. I feel if you truly, really want and first bring it into sound, then the teacher will appear. And the other aspect is cultivating a relationship with the divine, cultivating a relationship with the Supreme Soul. Not to get caught up in our fear or preconceptions or misconceptions of what the divine was when I was growing up or in the church I went to or the temple I went to or any of those things, but really starting cultivating a relationship with the divine. And the other one is, for all of these things to really work, I feel you have to learn to be a very good student. Is if you really, truly learn to be a good student and not go into a situation thinking I know everything that I really want to learn, I think it will happen.
So there's no place for atheists in this?
There is, actually. There is. I feel the importance of the relationship with the divine is so that God actually shows me who I am. The ultimate goal is to completely be self-realized. So even the importance of God in my life is because he's going to, he or she, whatever you want to call him, he's going to let me come to this place of self-realization. And so if as an atheist or an agnostic, if you feel that you don't need a divine source to come to this place of self-realization, but you can do it on your own, with other methods, sure, why not?
But your path clearly takes you through the divine.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And the power that I get from the self-realization, which I assume doesn't happen like some light bulb moment in your head.
It could, actually.
comes from what? What does that power derive from? Now I have a sense of who I am and why I'm here. Where's the power?
Like I said, it's very simple, actually. Many times, just sitting in that state of who I am, for example, in the Brahma Kumaris, we consider ourselves to be souls, or the drivers that are operating this vehicle, the body. So to just be able to sit in that state of being the driver, the master of the self, that's the simplicity is the beauty, and the power comes from simply sitting in that state. Not letting the body dictate, not letting my circumstances and everything around me, I don't get distracted, and I'm able to just do it. That is what helps. Power really, it's not hard. That's what I'm trying to get. It's really not hard.
And the body dictates in what ways when the body is dictating?
In many ways. You first start getting into, it's very, very subtle, the consciousness of the body. Instead of me sitting in the consciousness that I'm the driver of this body, but if I sit in the consciousness that the body, I am the body. Very subtly, I have fears, because it is perishable, and you see everyone around also, perishable. So there's a subtle fear of mortality. There's this it's not so subtle fear of mortality. There's a very subtle fear of aging, of disease, of losing something. All of those things, that there is a very subtle fear of those, which in itself is not that bad. But when you clump them all together, they do tend to cause a lot of peacelessness in people's lives. And for me, I really feel it is not a matter of people have this fear of mortality or that fear of this, but actually to experience the immortal self, that I am an immortal being that is driving this vehicle, is a very, very beautiful experience. And that itself is power. And so it is the lack of that experience is actually more of a loss than the experience of fear.
But once again, it's dependent on some things. In different faiths, there are different versions of the immortality of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
But each of them has some piece of that notion. And the more you can divorce yourself from the feeling that that the body is the beginning and the ending of it all, the more peaceful you can become. But that's a difficult thing to do, to get to the point where you can say, if the body perishes, it'll be okay.
That I'll be okay.
Yes. You have to know, acknowledge that it's a difficult place to get to.
It's easy and it is difficult. I feel many things we accept on blind faith, because everyone, mass consciousness accepts it. We accept a lot of things on blind faith. For example, which I might really be getting into a very controversial topic, but I will talk about it, is if I take the Darwin's theory of evolution, we still don't have a missing link. And this is not my personal view on it, so I'm not disclosing my personal view, but scientifically it's still a theory. It has not been proven fact from start to finish. But 50% of the people in the world accept it. Right? Or more. There's a lot of people in the world who accept that, and they don't know. They haven't really done it. Or any kind of scientific invention, anything, people just accept it on faith, because many of the people around them are accepting on faith. I feel if I go from the premise that I'm an immortal soul, I stand to gain so much more than if I go from the premise that the Darwin's theory of evolution is true, because it has no bearing in my life right now whether Darwin's theory of evolution is true or false. But if I go with the premise, and if I have faith in the premise that I am an immortal soul in this body, I will have many, many experiences of it that will get me out of my own fears.
Well, that and take you closer to peace.
And take you closer to peace.
But Isn't this a matter of just convincing yourself of one thing or the other?
No, it's experimenting. And that kind of experimentation with your mind leads to experience. And once you have experience, then no one can take it away from you.
What do you mean by experimentation?
It's experimenting with the fact that I am an immortal soul driving this vehicle, right? I'm experimenting with that thought. And so it is an experimentation, but if I experiment enough with that thought, then I will have an experience of that, of being an immortal soul in this vehicle. And that experience will guide me to the next step I have to take.
And the experience manifests itself how? The experience that comes from...
In peace and happiness, okay. Contentment, of immortality. The experience of immortality is actually unique in its own way. It's different from peace or happiness, that you're just immortal, that you're invincible. Basically, nothing can or no one can take that away from you.
Well, that's a whole different level of power.
Yeah.
Invincible.
Exactly. But this kind of invincibility is no one can take it away. It's not fluctuating depending on the stock market or the housing market rising up and down.
And how do I know when I'm there?
I guess just this experience of immortality. Could you point
to a time when you knew?
I definitely had many, many experiences of being an immortal soul. And right now I feel more it's like a second nature that I am immortal. And it's second nature only when I don't come into the consciousness of the body. And so for me the effort is to stay in that consciousness, I am an immortal soul. And every time I'm in that state, then that experience automatically comes.
And from there comes the power.
And from there comes the power.
It doesn't sound difficult.
It's not.
But it sounds incredibly difficult, elusive, because if it was so easy, a lot of people would be there already.
No, I really feel, Keith, that we limit ourselves with these thinking. You know, a lot of people might not be there because they don't have any intentions of being there. But if I have the intention and I experiment, I will have that experience.
And knowing that I have the intention, representing that intention comes from the meditation, comes from the process that you've described.
Yeah.